believe the hype. Don Lemon's on vacation. And in for the vacation in Don Lemon this morning to make you think, Joy Reid, the host of the Reid Report, airing weekdays at 2 p.m. on MSNBC. Joy Reid, welcome to the TJMS.
Thank you so much, Tom. It is an honor, truly, to be here.
We're big fans.
Big, huge fans.
Thank you.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yes, he is.
Literally, yes. I am the biggest fan.
So what you got for us this morning, Joy?
Well, you know, Tom, I've been thinking about Congress because they are out on vacation now, but it feels like they kind of been on vacation for, I would say, years rather than weeks. So I was kind of thinking about it because there have been all these editorials that have been sort of really getting at President Obama for what people feel he has done or hasn't done. So my thoughts on it are basically that if you want a better president, you're going to need to get a better Congress. And that happens to be one of my favorite sayings, and not just because I made it up, but also because I think it happens to be true. Because and it's actually kind of more relevant now than ever, because we're entering what you might call the down years of the Obama presidency, where the economy's recovered from the Great Recession that George W. Bush so kindly left on his way out the door. We're not in any new wars. Wall Street's doing really well, lucky them. But overall, the vibe in the country is very negative. And people blame President Obama. They blame him for the fact that real wages are stagnant, the minimum wage is stuck at the federal level, that black unemployment is still double overall unemployment, and that we've done absolutely nothing to address persistent problems like gun violence. But if you do read some of the people who are kind of the big thinkers and spend time writing about politics today, they'll say the problem is that the president just isn't leading. He needs to stand up and just lead, and somehow the recalcitrant Congress will just follow him. And that, of course, is the same Congress that is recently voted to sue the president for leading, quote unquote, on health care reform while demanding that he use those same executive powers to solve the border crisis among those kids. So basically, you know, as you know, and I'm sure you guys know because you guys are students of history, that Congress is actually the first branch of government in our Constitution. Their powers are the Article I powers, and they actually exceed in a lot of ways the Article II powers of the president. And so who's in Congress and what the balance in Congress is has a huge impact on what kind of presidency we have. And basically, the Congress can trump the other two branches of government anytime they want. If the court, the Supreme Court, makes a ruling and they don't like it, they can just pass a law and override it. If they pass a law and the president doesn't like it and he vetoes it, two-thirds of them can override him. And the president, he can put up judges, he can put up Supreme Court nominees, hello, Clarence Thomas, but it's only the Senate that can actually seat them on the bench. So they have such broad power in Congress that they can literally bring government to a halt, which, of course, this Congress has demonstrated they've been willing to do. They've done it. So if you look at President Obama's tenure and you compare it to past presidents, if you look in the 30s, FDR had 59 Democratic senators, just 36 Republicans in the Senate. New Deal passed. 1937 to 1939, he had 75 Democrats in the Senate and just 17 Republicans, meaning he could enact his agenda because most of those Democrats were with him. You go forward, you look at John F. Kennedy. He couldn't get a civil rights bill through, even though he had 64 Democrats in the Senate, which is four more than you need to override a veto. But a lot of those Democrats were Southern segregationists. They weren't with him. So by the time Lyndon Johnson takes over, he needed Republican votes to go ahead and pass the Civil Rights Act, but he still had 68 Democrats in place. So he could get the Voting Rights Act through. He could get Fair Wage Act through by the time 1965 rolls around. Go forward again. You look at Bill Clinton, and his agenda was very different before 1994 and after, because in those midterms, once Republicans took over the House and Senate, his agenda really went in their direction, way in the Republicans' favor, and they still tried to impeach him. So then you look forward to President Obama. And when he took over in office, he only had 55 Democrats and two independents, meaning he was three short of what you would need to override a filibuster. And that's assuming all the Democrats actually stuck with him, which they didn't. And Republicans, the day he was inaugurated, came in and made a decision that they were going to try to get 41 Senate votes and filibuster literally everything he did. That was their political decision. So with the exception of the stimulus, which got three Republican votes, every single other major piece of legislation that's going to go into President Obama's legacy, starting with the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, the Fair Sentencing Act that reduced the act that reduced drug sentence disparities, the Affordable Care Act, most of that passed in that 6 months, only 6 months from July of 2009 and Christmas Eve of 2009 when Obamacare finally went through the Senate, where literally those were most of the things that were passed under President Obama's tenure. And once Democrats lost President Obama's Senate seat in Illinois and Scott Brown picked up Teddy Kennedy's seat in Massachusetts, which pushed Democrats back under 60 votes, everything went downhill. And by the time the Republicans took over the House in the 2010 midterms, you pretty much know how it's been since then. And at this point, the hottest topic in the Republican circles all around the country is impeachment. That's what they would like to do if they can get the Senate back. And the current Congress has passed fewer laws than any Congress in modern history. And all of this is not to say that President Obama can't do anything or shouldn't try to do anything. And in my personal opinion, President Obama really doesn't utilize nearly enough those symbolic powers that he has in his office. But it's just a basic fact of American political life that the makeup of Congress really matters. It matters a lot. And it double matters when it comes to the politicians that impact your day-to-day life, the governor, the mayor, the school board, and those elected judges. And if you don't pay attention to who they are, pretty much all I can say is good luck with that. And I just figured that's something to think about as we're heading into the midterm.
And today is Election Day, Joy, in a number of states, including Kansas, Michigan, and Missouri. Mm-hmm. And so this is right on time, your commentary, because as we talk about people in building a better system and getting a better Congress.
Joy Reid.
Absolutely. And hopefully people pay attention. And look, black voters can make a huge difference. We've just seen in Mississippi that even in Republican races, when it's open primaries, the African-American vote can be really decisive. So hopefully people will vote.
Joy Reid is the host of The Reid Report, airing weekdays at 2 on MSNBC.
One Central. Keep up the great work. We're big
fans,
Joy.
Thank you. Thanks
big
so
fans.
Much.
Thank you.
Good job, Joy.